Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Rohan.
Thanks, Avirath. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. I extend a warm welcome to everyone. On behalf of Equirus, I welcome the management of Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited to give a brief update on 4Q FY25 results and address investor queries. We have with us from the management team Dr. Raj Narayanam, Founder and Executive Chairman, Mr. Avinash Godkhindi, MD and CEO, and Mr. Aditya Kumar, CFO. We will now begin with a brief opening remarks from the management, post which we can have Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohan. A very good evening to everyone. Thank you for joining the earnings call for Zaggle Prepaid Ocean Services Limited for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2025. On behalf of the company, I extend a very warm welcome to all of you. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Avinash Godkhindi, MD and CEO, Mr. Aditya Kumar, CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. The financial results, press release, and investor presentation are uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. I hope everybody has had a chance to look at it. Now I would like to give you the Zaggle business update. FY25 has been an outstandingly remarkable year for Zaggle as we achieved our highest ever annual performance. Talking about the quarterly performance, comparing Q4 FY25 to Q4 FY24, the company reported a very healthy growth in revenues at 411 crore, growing at around 51%. Our adjusted EBITDA increased to INR 38 crores, growing at about 40%. The PAT surged to INR 32 crores, growing significantly at 67%. Talking about the annual performance, comparing FY25 to FY24, the company reported a healthy growth in revenues at 1,303 crores, growing at around 68%. Our adjusted EBITDA increased to INR 125 crores, growing at around 46%. But the beauty was the PAT surged to INR 88 crores, growing significantly at 99%, well above our earlier guidance. I would want to give you an overview of Zaggle's investments and acquisitions. Our inorganic growth approach is aptly reflected in the words of Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff. You know, when you combine two companies or more, you just don't get scale. You get a new story. Inorganic growth continues to be a key pillar of our growth strategy as we build a comprehensive bouquet of spend management solutions to further deliver value to our customers. During the year, we closed the acquisition of TaxSpanner, completed the strategic investment in Mobileware Technologies, and have received board approval for a strategic investment in Infiasoft Private Limited. These investments are helpful in enhancing our client servicing capabilities in tax, UPI, and payment solution segments. We see massive growth opportunities for TaxSpanner in FY26 with one such promising opportunity in the gig worker ecosystem where we have launched a solution called JUGS, Z-U-G-S. Zaggle Unified Gig Worker Savings. Nearly 20 million low-income blue-collar workers in India face critical financial challenges. Despite having TDS deducted from their income, many do not file their income tax returns, preventing them from claiming tax refunds that could amount to nearly 2 weeks or more of earnings, a sizable amount for these blue-collar workers. JUGS, a comprehensive solution featuring a DIY journey with multilingual support to enable gig workers to claim their refunds in a seamless manner. While last year was a consolidation year for TaxSpanner, where we invested a lot of time, money, effort in the product, the growth was a little bit subdued at about 3.35 crores. But this year, we look at a growth of about 60%-70%, which we expect that we'll be able to do it with relative ease. Mobileware estimated revenues grew from 17.06 crores in FY24 to INR 33.89 crores in FY25, representing a remarkable YOY growth of 98%. In FY25, we signed marquee customers like IDFC Bank, EaseBuzz, Catholic Syrian Bank, and CAMSPay, among others. The largest growth contributor was the implementation of API banking layer in Suryoday Bank, allowing multiple merchants to take advantage of our UPI payment ecosystem. The stellar growth in FY25 not only strengthens Mobileware's ability to onboard new banks in FY26, it also enables Mobileware to command a higher price point, improving the overall financial metrics. We continue to explore M&A opportunities in adjacent spaces in domestic and international markets, with a focus on opportunities in payment solution, loyalty management, merchant card software, and so forth in the payments domain. We focus on targets that have stellar management teams, sound business health, are product accretive, and easy to integrate across the Zaggle ecosystem to establish a strong strategic foundation that aligns with our long-term objective of scaling to $1 billion in annual revenue. I am happy to announce that we have also signed an MOU with Mesh Payments, a U.S.-based AI-powered travel and expense management platform. Backed by a seamless technology exchange, this partnership not only reflects our offering to Indian customers looking to streamline and manage their global expenses, it also unlocks access to global go-to-market opportunities. While we continue to consolidate the market in India, this partnership gives a boost to our international expansion plans. Now, I would like to give you the industry and Zaggle product update. Building on Steve Jobs' classic idea, "Innovation distinguishes between a leader and a follower," we at Zaggle have reimagined the idea as AI-powered innovation, separating the disruptors from disrupted. We aim to fundamentally transform how businesses approach spends by becoming the default spend management infrastructure for companies and establishing ourselves as a truly SaaS company, AI-powered SaaS company. We are transitioning from static, rule-based systems to a dynamic, intelligent, context-based platform that continuously evolves and self-optimizes over a period of time. We are seeing the emergence of Model Context Protocol, MCP, within the agentic AI. Agentic AI doesn't just support decisions but takes autonomous action. MCP is an open protocol that acts as a bridge between applications such as Zaggle and the large language models. MCP standardizes how agents would interact with other tools, datasets, and associated environments within the Zaggle ecosystem, which would translate into a faster onboarding, accelerated revenue realization, and a greater satisfaction and retention. We are implementing these AI workflows across our EMS, Zoyer, Propel offerings to keep delivering innovative solutions that set a new benchmark in the industry. Currently, in the pilot phase, Zaggle Copilot would serve as an AI assistant for finance teams, streamlining workflows and enabling smarter, faster decision-making and reducing human interface. We are currently leveraging advanced conversational AI technologies to fundamentally reshape the way we engage with customers and users, delivering multilingual, personalized, and real-time interactions at scale. Looking ahead, Our strategy is clear, focusing on intelligent automation, invest in product-led growth, and scale responsibly. We are building capabilities for global enterprises while delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. Now, I would like to give our guidance for FY25-26. Amid global geopolitical uncertainties and macroeconomic volatility, we currently project our standalone, and I repeat the word standalone, FY26 revenue growth to range between 35%-40%. Last year, FY25, our guidance on standalone EBITDA margin was between 9%-10%, and we are happy to announce that we are upping our guidance to 10%-11% in the coming year in FY26. Hopefully, our entire goal of achieving 12%-15% EBITDA margin over the next three, 4 years, this year would be a deciding year for that goal to be achieved. I now hand over to our CEO, Mr. Avinash Godkhindi.
Thank you, Dr. Raj, for your remarks. This year has truly been a landmark year for Zaggle. Reflecting on our journey, I'm pleased to share that Zaggle now serves over 3,455 customers across diverse industries and sectors. We continue to maintain a churn rate which is below 1.5%, highlighting the strong trust our customers place in us and the reliable value our platform consistently provides. Our growth engine remains strong and predictable. We are harnessing the power of AI to drive strong, scalable, and sustainable growth to unlock new business opportunities. Our AI-led approach positions us to stay ahead of the curve and create long-term value across our core markets. Today, we are proud to report that we have over 3.28 million active users using Zaggle-powered cards and platforms software. This isn't just a milestone. It's a clear validation of our platform model and execution. We have launched the new Zaggle app to simplify expense tracking, wallet management, and incentive monitoring. Our goals are to scale, enhance customer engagement, and increase automation, positioning Zaggle to drive financial innovation in India and beyond. Coming to numbers, during this quarter, our SaaS platform fee contributed INR 9.3 crores. Our program fees contributed INR 157 crores. And our Propel points contributed INR 245 crores. Not just that, we signed multiple marquee clients, including Indus Towers, Honasa Consumer, which is Mama Earth, Forbes Marshall, Truecaller International, Aster DM Healthcare, and many more, expanding our client base. To elaborate further on how we are helping our clients, one of our clients, we're providing in-house meals to their employees while deducting the cost from their salaries during payroll. This client faced challenges with manual tracking and post-month reconciliations, which made employees unhappy due to the deductions being applied to their post-tax income. To resolve this, we implemented the Zaggle Save solution, which provided tax benefits for their employees and automated the transactions, improving operational efficiency by implementing the need for reconciliations. As we continue to pursue our platform-based approach, we anticipate rapid growth driven by a strong pipeline of new client acquisitions and effective cross-selling strategies. In Q4, we were able to cross-sell to a number of clients, including Tech Mahindra, Neuralgia Health, Physicswala, Zepto, and Wonder Home Finance, amongst others. I'd like to touch upon a couple of these examples. Tech Mahindra is an existing customer for our Save solution. We recognize the potential for further collaboration, and we successfully plugged in our Zatix solution along with a corporate credit card to enable seamless payments with complete visibility. Likewise, for Physicswala, which is an existing customer of our Save solution, we were able to extend the BROM solution, which is Branch Recurring Operating Monthly Expenses, to streamline and manage their 850 branches across the country more effectively with complete visibility. During the quarter, we announced key collaborations. As a part of the ongoing growth strategy, we entered into strategic collaborations with Gift City, where we are launching a co-branded prepaid citizen card designed to streamline payments and deliver seamless user experience across a range of services within the city. Additionally, we will implement a robust visitor management software system aimed at enhancing administrative efficiency across the GIFT City ecosystem. These initiatives position us as a key enabler of GIFT City's smart city vision, which also is opening up long-term revenue opportunities through recurring transactions and data-driven services, service enhancements. We've also partnered with Thomas Cook with the aim of transforming the global travel experience, corporate travel experience, by leveraging their comprehensive travel management expertise to complement our AI-driven expense solution. This will help us provide a seamless integrated offering for domestic and international corporate travel with streamlined workflows and complete visibility. We are also co-developing an innovative employee benefit solution, the Smart Employee Purchase Program, Smart EPP, in partnership with Reddington Limited, which is in collaboration with Google. This offering will be a tailored solution for corporate clients of Zaggle, enhancing our value proposition in the employee engagement and benefit space. I'm also pleased to share with you that Zaggle has been empaneled by Bank of India as an authorized issuer of prepaid cards, further strengthening our presence in the banking ecosystem and expanding our distribution network. Overall, as we build and scale Zaggle into a truly comprehensive fintech platform, I'm proud to share some key milestones this quarter. First, we received the TPAP approval from NPCI. This means we can now facilitate UPI-based payments directly through our app and our platform, impacting and enabling over 3 million users across all our services. This is a truly significant step in our mission to create India's most seamless and integrated fintech ecosystem. Secondly, I am delighted to announce that we have been recognized with an industry accolade. Zaggle has been named Financial Institution of the Year at Franchise India's 5th edition of Successpreneur Awards. This recognition again reflects the innovation, impact and trust we continue to build across the ecosystem. As always, our focus remains clear to deliver a comprehensive offering in the spend management space, expanding our reach to new clients while increasing wallet share amongst existing ones. With every step, we move closer to becoming the platform of choice for companies across India. I now hand over to our CFO, Aditya, to take you through the finance updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Avinash. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining today. I'm delighted to report that the company has delivered another quarter and year of strong performance with robust revenue growth coupled with margin expansion. I would like to give you an overview of our latest quarterly results first. In the Q4 FY25, we saw a robust revenue growth of 51% YOY, reaching to INR 411 crores. This growth has seen across all revenue streams, with the Propel platform raising up by 91% YOY, while program fees grew by 15% YOY. Other expenses increased primarily due to higher sales and marketing spend during the quarter. Employee costs remained stable on sequential basis but increased YOY basis, driven by additional headcount to support business growth. This quarter also included certain transactional and legal expenses related to our inorganic expansion. Our adjusted EBITDA grew by 40%, reaching to INR 38 crore this quarter compared to INR 27 crore in the same period last year. The increase in depreciation expenses is primarily driven by product capitalization during the year, which includes our new office building as well. Our cash PAT, which includes net profit along with depreciation and ESOP expenses, saw an 86% increase YOY basis, totaling to INR 39 crore. Furthermore, our PAT rose by 67% from the previous year, reaching to INR 32 crore. For FY25, our revenue from operations has increased by 68% YOY basis to INR 1303 crore. Our Propel platform saw an increase of 71% YOY basis, and our SaaS fee saw an increase of 12% YOY basis. We observed a 70% YOY increase in the interchange fee, which has become a significant contributor to our revenue. This growth is largely driven by performance of our Zoyer and Brome solutions, along with organic growth in the Save and Propel businesses. Additionally, there has been notable rise in credit card issuance under the Zoyer offering. Our adjusted EBITDA surged by 46%, reaching to INR 125 crore. PAT rose significantly, totaling to INR 88 crore, which represents a 99% YoY increase. Additionally, our cash PAT experienced a substantial growth, increasing by 66% to INR 111 crore. During FY26, we anticipate recording ESOP expenses in the range of 9 to 10 crore. Our cash flow generation has improved significantly compared to last year. The cash flow from operations stood at INR 19.8 crores in FY25 compared to negative number in FY24. Our DSO improved from 82 days in last year to 60 days at the end of this year. With that, I would like to conclude my update and we are happy to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swayam from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is related to our program fee growth. So as we know that one of our main focus is on the growth of our program fee. So is there any reason why suddenly growth has been at 15% around? And what is your outlook going forward? Like how are we going to increase the transaction volume in this segment going further?
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Swayam. So as you see in the year, we grew about 70% on program fees, right? I think you're looking on a quarter-on-quarter basis where we grew by about 15%. We've been focused on growing in a profitable way where we are able to, you know, increase our overall margins. And that has been the approach while working on improving our cash flow position. So we want to grow, of course, but we want to grow profitably and we want to grow in a manner which allows us to improve our cash flows as well. So going forward also, we see very strong growth in program fees. And overall, we have given a guidance of 35 to 40%. And we see program fees also growing in line with the same assessment.
Okay, sir.
For the year.
And my second question is on the Propel part. So the gross margin of Propel, which is almost 10% this quarter, assuming mainly due to the ORCs. But if I look at that on the FY25 basis, it's somewhere around 6%. So can you please elaborate, like, why are these margin this year are at these levels? And also, like, in previous investor meet, we were mentioning about acquisition of merchant platform. So can you briefly tell like how this will going to help us in this segment going forward to increase the margins?
So as explained in the last call as well, you know, we were expecting the margins in Propel points to go up to 6%, and we were able to achieve that because of the ORCs, as you rightly pointed out. Margins as this line of business has grown will stay in this range of 6 to 7% for the coming year as well, and that's how we have estimated it. This is where the margins we anticipate to be on a standalone basis. Of course, the acquisition would help, you know, as and when we are able to close that, because that allows us to be able to actually start issuing the gift cards for various merchants and dip into commissions from the merchants for issuing those vouchers, which is a SaaS income, as well as, you know, expanded margins through breakage, etc. So, but right now the guidance that I'm giving of 6 to 7% is on a standalone basis, assuming that the acquisition would happen as and when it happens.
Okay, sir. I'll get back in the queue and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devesh Kasilwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of... First question Thank was you. On the Mobiware acquisition. So this, as far as I understand, this includes UPI payments for our platforms going ahead. So how is the revenue going to be recognized, and what is our take on it, as in the what would be the margin for this integration of our products with the UPI platform?
So Mobileware is an investment. We have about 38% shareholding today there, and they have a very comprehensive, robust platform for a variety of NPCI technologies. Obviously, UPI being the first, but IMPS, AEPS, BBPS, etc. And they work with over 90 banks today. Obviously, you know, post our investment, it's been a plus for them to be able to acquire these banks and other fintechs. So from our perspective, we are today also acting as a customer of Mobileware, where we are using their pipes to be able to connect to NPCI for both our TPAP and our Brome solution, right? And that's how we look at it. But of course, we support the company through our relationships and our connections to be able to increase their business.
Okay. Thank you for that. Second question. In terms of customer acquisition cost, what was the number this year for the entire financial year? And additionally, the cash sitting on our books, how are we going to deploy that over the current financial, like FY26? What plans do we have on that front?
So customer acquisition costs, it's around 360 crore, which we have spent in the current year. The cash sitting on the bank accounts, right, will be used for our regular working capital requirements. So which needs to be regularly invested on the product automation and all other stuff. But otherwise, the money what we had in terms of raised firm QIP, that will be utilized towards the respective objects, mainly towards investment activity.
Acquisitions.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll join back in the queue for additional questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jalaj from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Thanks for the opportunity. So Avinash, just delving a little deeper, so specifically on the platform, on the program fee, so you said that we are looking for a profitable business. So does that mean that we are saying no to a few transactions or some sort of business so as to ensure the profitability, and on what parameters is exactly that decision, or what is it deciding? Because I thought that it will be a standard margin product which is being sold right now. Could you talk a little about it?
Yes. So look at it in conjunction with the incentives that we give. And incentives we give to both users in Propel and Save, as well as incentives that we give at times to corporates in Zoyer. For the growth, which has gone up from 137 crores to 157.1 crores in program fees, our incentives, on the other hand, has come down from 110 crores to 108 crores, right? So while the program fees has gone up by 20 crores for the, and I'm doing a Q-on-Q comparison here, Q4 FY24 to Q4 FY25, the incentive number has actually gone down. So that is what I was trying to allude to, and thank you for your question. Because you see, the top line has grown and the costs have come down, right?
Okay. And specifically on the program fees or intercharge, how is the traction specifically on the Zoyer cards? Because as per our understanding or whatever discussion we got, that the product was a superstar product and should have started to see a lot of more traction. So are we seeing that, or how far are we from that inflection point in the Zoyer product? So what sort of traction are we seeing right now?
Traction is very good, and we are continuing to grow there. The whole idea is to be able to, as I mentioned, optimize on profitability, optimize on cash flow while we grow, right? There's no point in our view to grow blindly without looking at these two other factors. And that's why we are trying to balance it out.
Okay. And anything specifically, is there a pressure on the, or the take rates are different on a Zoyer product versus the Save or the Save product per se? Is that the reason why the growth isn't as as quick as we were expecting? Because ideally, if the products were so great, that YOY I see on the specifically for this quarter is just a 15% growth.
No, the take rates are not too different. They are all in the same range, in the range of about 1.7 to 1.75%. And the idea is, again, I'm repeating myself, that the whole idea is not to just grow, but also to grow with better margins. We could have probably shown you much higher growth than that 15%. Maybe we could have grown at 30 or 40% if we had given more incentives, right? We wanted to control the incentives and build that discipline in the market, because we're not building for one quarter or one result. We are wanting to build that discipline and improve our incentive position over time for the coming quarters and coming years as well.
Fair point, fair point. Okay, so could you talk a little about the quick commerce deal we had talked about? I guess that was for the Zoyer again. How is that shaping up, and how the what sort of traction are we seeing there?
Again, in each of these cases, there are multiple of these quick commerce deals that we've done, and with Big Basket, Zepto, Blinkit, etc. And each one of them is shaping up well. Traction is good, and we are now juxtaposing that with our Jugs platform, Zaggle Unified Gig Worker Savings, and that would then again further deepen our penetration with these companies and enhance the value proposition with these companies.
So does it typically take a lot of quarters or a few quarters to scale up the businesses in while you onboard a client? Because again, so just on an absolute terms, program fees should have scaled up, because these are usually larger clients having huge expenses per store. I guess a few crores should come in, so that obviously revenue will not flow, but take rate, even if you had put in, so sensible amount of revenue should have started to flow from them. So how, or does it take a few quarters to scale up?
Yes, it takes a few quarters to scale up, because there is an adoption, there is education. You need to make sure that you know, you're doing it in a manner which is giving the confidence to the CFO and her team that they have control on the spends. So you're talking of large enterprises and you know, hundreds of crores of spends. So each company has their own you know, pace at which they want to roll it out.
Okay. Okay. So how far are we from that inflection point, or in broadly in the, those accounts, or for these larger accounts?
So these, you know, so in three of these larger accounts we are live, and then there are like about four or so, you know, which are you know, which would go live in, let's say, anywhere between, you know, 4 to 6 months. Okay, and you know, once you have gone live, you know, then the adoption starts. So you go live with, let's say, maybe, you know, 100 branches, then you expand it to maybe 500 branches, see the system stability, etc., and figure out that, okay, you know, what are the various kinds of issues are there for that particular enterprise, solve them, and then scale them to, you know, whichever, you know, however many stores. So post that initial setup of that, you know, 300 to 500 stores, then you are able to expand it to maybe even to 3,000 odd stores. Okay, so that is how this entire thing functions. So from signing of the contract, typically you will take anywhere between 4 to 6 months to go live in a very, very large account.
Does that answer your question? Yeah, this is Devashish Mazumdar. I work with Jal. So just a small follow-up to the question that Jalaj was asking. Is it fair to assume that then this quarter is a kind of transition quarter for us, where because of the large size account visibility that we have, we are kind of sacrificing growth for those accounts where profitability is low, and that's why this quarter there is a lower growth in the program fees, and going forward we will see much traction there.
No, so you know, see, you know, let's not oversimplify it, okay? Because you know, there is no
what do you call, you know, clear cut formula, you know, for this. So I would say that, you know, the growth has been healthy, okay, over last year. You know, on a Q4 account, you know, what happens is this is Q4. Q4, there is like last year, Q4 was a bumper year. And, you know, it has grown by another 15% over the Q4 of last year. What we see is that as we, you know, as we sign up more and more clients, overall the pace of, if you see Q4 of FY26, you would see much, much more larger, you know, revenue increase over this quarter, the, you know, last Q4 of FY25. So can't say transition, but it is a constantly improving growth is how you would be able to see it.
Got it. And one last question, maybe quickly on the margins. So if we close the full...
Hello. Mr. Jalad, yes. Sorry to interrupt. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for the turn. Hello.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Pudar from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So three questions. One is on a sequential basis, I see a very sharp increase in other expenses. So maybe you can help me understand what has happened over there. The other is when I look at your cash flow statements, there is something called other current assets where a substantial amount of cash has been blocked, close to 40-odd crores. So you can help me understand what is that. That's second. And lastly, I see CapEx, which is quite high. Maybe you can just break that down between product development and other CapEx, whatever you would have done. So three sets of questions.
Yeah. Hi, Pratik. So the other expenses, sharp increase is on account of the business promotion advertisement expenditure, which we have done in this quarter. Like we did multiple conferences and all of the stuff. That's one. And second is also increase on account of the network charges and the switch cost, what we have to bear when we have to integrate with any of these clients. So this typically comes when a new client addition happens and all of those things. As a percentage of revenue, if you see, it will be the standard thing. And moving on to the CapEx item. So in the current year, if you see, we have launched 2 to 3 new products like Zatex and Fleet Solution and Zip, etc., which was in the stage of under development stage that has been capitalized and moved to the intangible asset stage. And when it comes to the PPE, the new office building which you have shifted, that is the standard increase. So third one on the other assets typically, this I have explained earlier also. So it includes you of two components. One is the voucher stock, which we maintain on every monthly basis in order to meet the demand of the customers and clients. And second is the preloaded cards. So these two put together, we have close to around 152 crore. And rest of the balance of 16, total other current assets is around 170 crore, what you see in the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. These two put together is the 152 crore. And balance 14, 15 crore are the reconciliation statement, which we do with the pool accounts. Out of this 152 crore, around 60 crore pertains to the gift voucher stock. And around 90 crore pertains to the preloaded cards. So why this number is higher is because on account of two reasons. One, the business is increased significantly compared to last year and now. And second, if you see in the March, especially what happened is 29, 30, 31 are the holidays. 31 is on account of Eid, it's an holiday. So where we have received the orders from the clients, but fulfillment was not done. So what happens is in order to meet the demand on the timely demand and meet the SLAs with the clients, we have to load the cards upfront and deliver to them at the later point of time as soon as we receive the orders. Since 3 days are the holidays where we received the orders and the fulfillment was not able to be done because of the holiday structure. So these are the reasons.
No, this is very helpful. And lastly, just on the trajectory of other expenses, yes. Is this the new normal we should think about? Because other expenses generally are rising faster than, let's say, our sales growth, obviously on a low base. But is that something which will happen next year also?
So can't comment as of now, Pratik, but this is like one of the activities. But typically, as a percentage of revenue, see, it will be in the range of 1-2% on the specifically the items which we spoke, other than the employee cost.
Got it. And lastly, just wanted to confirm, look, next year, I think you're guiding for 35-40% growth with some margin expansion. And given that, you know, we have had some years of hyper growth, this 35-40 should result in now a decent cash flow accretion, right? We would not get into a situation where there is negative OCF. Obviously, this year you have generated some OCF, though very small as a percentage of what the EBITDA is. But the EBITDA to OCF conversion next year should improve. That's a fair understanding, right?
So definitely, yes, Pratik, it will improve because like last year it was much, much negative. And as we promised to the wider investors, etc., so we have a break, and even in the current year. So the idea is to focus on this much more and be capital efficient, and OCF to EBITDA also will increase gradually. So we are, in fact, one of the first step what we did, if you see, is our DS4 days, right? So which used to be 82, yeah, that has come down to 60. So we potentially go ahead and reduce that further. That's where the focus will be. As soon as well as that gets reduced, the automatically the cash flows will turn positive.
And maybe some guidance, maybe not today, but in future calls on conversion from EBITDA to OCF helps a lot. So that's one suggestion I would leave you guys with. But otherwise, thanks so much for this. Thanks.
Definitely. Thanks, Pratik.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sri Narayan Mishra from Baroda BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the EBITDA margin. So we can see your Propel margins increasing.
Sir, can you be please louder? Can't hear you.
Hello, is it better?
Yeah, yes.
My first question was on EBITDA margin. So, we can see your Propel margins going up to 10% this quarter versus 3Q. But we can't see the overall EBITDA margins, moving up in that direction. So from 3.3% to 10% is the margin which we see in Propel, but EBITDA margin is flat. So can you throw some light why this did not flow through?
So we explained this last time as well. The Propel margins were supposed to expand in any case because of the overriding commissions that were due for the sales that we generated through the first 9 months. So that has flown through now. Overall, if you look at it, our margin guidance was 9-10%, and we are at about 9.6% for the year. And next year, our guidance is for 10-11%, and we will, look to meet that. If you look at Q4 of last year as well, Q4 is a high growth quarter for us, but margins are generally a little compressed in Q4 because a lot of the corporates also meet their spend thresholds in Zoyer, etc. And they tend to get some of their, commissions, etc. from us, incentives from us. So this is the nature of our business that, Q4 does tend to have much higher growth, but a slightly compressed margin profile.
Okay. And these expenses, we cannot even this out over the course of the year. So with the 4Q lumpiness, by way of accounting, it is required or can we do some provision in earlier quarters for these expenses? Is that not possible?
It's hard because we don't know who will cross what hit what thresholds. Just the same way as we are not allowed to take, revenues in earlier quarters because we are also not able to prove to the auditors that we will cross those thresholds and Propel points. That's the nature of this whole piece.
Okay. Understood. And secondly, sir, on Vroom, if you can highlight, what in terms of GMV, what we have achieved or in terms of revenue, the gross or net revenue, that would be great.
Overall on Vroom, we've grown very significantly in terms of number of clients which have gone live and where we have signed up. It's a little too early for us to give you more data specifically in Vroom, which is part of Zoyer, as to how much we have done in terms of revenues, etc.
Do you have any, I mean, sense on, I mean, any directionally by when you see that to be a significant chunk of the business and you start giving numbers on that?
So it will always be part of Zoyer, but specific numbers probably we'll give sometime in this year, depending on how numbers pan out and how it is. But you will see in our business more and more as we push for cross-sell, that a lot of these numbers are going to be intertwined. The whole idea is to capture all the strengths of the corporate while we explain the solution to you as a separate use case. When the team goes and sells to the corporate, it's, the thesis is all about trying to give you a comprehensive spend management solution, right?
Okay, got it. And last question, if I may
sorry to interrupt, Mr.
No worries.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Nagpal from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Since you've booked overriding commissions in Q4, the actual growth that we're seeing in the underlying volumes is a little hard to gauge. Could you give some sense of how much growth we're seeing in the underlying Propel volumes, ex of the overriding commissions that were booked this quarter? Thanks.
See, the volume growth is what it is. You know, we've told you it has grown from 128 crores in Q4 FY24 to 245 crores. Of course, you know, the margin gets added to that. So largely the growth is pretty strong. It's just that the ORCs come in the last quarter.
Okay, understood. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PK Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. So first, I just want to clarify. In the first question that was asked about program fees growth guidance for next year, I think Avinash said that it will go in line with the overall guidance. So that implies that program fees will also be about 30-35% for this year. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, 35-40% is what we have projected as our overall growth, and program fees should also grow in line with that. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Will this be front-loaded, back-loaded, anything along those lines? Same thing for, by the way, for EBITDA guidance. Are we expecting it to gradually ramp up, or are we expecting it to come from Q1 itself?
See, all of it will gradually ramp up because the nature of our business is also such that Q1, Q2 generally are, you know, lesser in terms of revenue. Q3, Q4 are higher contribution. So historically, it used to be a 65-35. Now it's gone down to about 57-58. 42-43 type of a number with Zoyer's increased contribution, but there is always a skew towards Q2.
Got it. But from a year-on-year growth perspective, when I compare it, you know, Q1 to Q1, Q2 to Q2, I'm talking from that perspective, should I not be seeing 30-35% growth from Q1? Or because then it would imply then that for a year-on-year guidance to be met, then in Q3, Q4, you would be giving upwards of 40-50% growth.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. You should see growth because Q1 of last year was also a lower number, I think 118 crores for program fees. So you'll see that number pan out at that 30-35% range.
Okay, got it. Perfect. So my second question is from a GTV perspective, from the gross transaction value, is it possible for you to start disclosing from our program fee what is the gross transaction value we are seeing? Because over the last year, we have added so many clients, but you know the program fees has not grown as much. So the take rate has also not changed as per your previous response. So that means the GTV has not managed to grow. Is that correct?
No, the GTV has grown. It's grown fairly well, because if you look at it the whole year, the program fees, sir, has grown by 70%, right? And it's not at a small base. The base last year also was 322 crores. And on that, we have grown by 70%. So I think somewhere, maybe we want to highlight this, that overall, you should look at the year's numbers and how the number growth has been. And overall, the number has grown very healthily at 70%.
Okay. Understood. All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Avinash.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So one of the first question is a bit on change in commentary. So the last quarter, the commentary was more around that we are more focused on growth because the opportunity is so huge. And even if that sort of keeps our margins subdued in the near term, we are fine with it. Whereas in this quarter, we have been talking a lot more about margins and better cash flows. And that reflects in your guidance as well, wherein you expect margins to improve in the coming year. So wanted to understand what has led to this change, wherein earlier the guidance and trajectory was more growth focused and now it has changed to more balanced growth perspective. Like, has there been something changed?
Nothing has changed, sir. If you look at last year, you know, when we, you know, came in March of 2024, we said, you know, we possibly will grow by 45 to 50%. Okay. And we ended up growing by about 68%. So the whole idea this year is that, you know, while we look at, you know, growth, we also look at improving our margins. And improvement in margin is a part of the long-term objective, that which is that we have to take it to about 15-16%, you know, over the next 3 to 4 years. Okay, while, you know, the margin expansion will come, it will also come at scale. Okay, the scale which we have to achieve will come only by having a little bit aggressive growth plan. What we are referring to 35-40% is, please see, it is on a 1300 crore base. Okay, last year the base was 775 crore. Previous to that year was, you know, 553 crores. So if you look at it, if we are saying this year that we are growing at about, you know, 40%, that is about 1800 crore plus. You compare that 2 years back, we were at 553 crores. And today, you know, next year, we would be at about 1800 crores. So that is like 3x jump in about span of 3 years. Okay. So, and at every base we are growing, the idea is not to let the growth slow down, but idea is to improve margins while we improve growth.
Got it. The second question, sir, is around the M&A. So it has almost been a year or so wherein we have been talking about doing some major M&A. It's almost been about 5-6 months since we have raised a substantial amount of capital as well. So just trying to understand, like, what is happening over here. Like, sort of pinpointed some M&A and the due diligence itself is taking long time, or we are still figuring out which company to acquire, because the timeline between capital raise and not being able to acquire itself has been like 6-7 months now. So just if you can share some insights, like, is the due diligence taking time, or you're not able to figure out the right M&A, like, what is happening over there, it could help.
Sure. You know, very good question. And I'll answer it in detail for you. See, you know, when we raised the money, that was like end of December. Okay. And since January, you know, in fact, and we had started looking at, you know, multiple companies, we are in very advanced stage. But even when I say very advanced stage, between the closure and very advanced stage, it could be a quarter. Okay. And these are like little bit large acquisitions, you know, with multiple investors on the other side. And there has to be, you know, and also the due diligence typically takes about 3 to 4 months, you know, because there is FDD, which is financial due diligence, then tax due diligence, and then legal due diligence. And then, you know, the final terms, which we have to agree with, you know, the acquiring company. Okay. So what's happening is that we have set up, you know, about 7 to 9 players, and there is a lot of amount and time and effort which goes from the management side as well. When we are looking at these companies, though we have a dedicated set of team which is looking at it, but the management time also goes in. So what we have done is, and in spite of, you know, coming very, 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 very close, sometimes it just stretches at the last moment. Okay. And that stretch is what we have seen in one or two cases. But we, you know, we should be able to, you know, very soon tell you as to, you know, what's the status on all these acquisitions.
overall. So the takeaway would be that we have figured out what we want to acquire. It's just that the due diligence and the overall process is taking time. But we have figured out what we want to buy.
100%. And you know, we wouldn't raise money or we would not go ahead and dilute ourselves if we had not a clear-cut thought process on, you know, whom to acquire.
Got it. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yeah, you are audible, sir.
Yeah, so just a couple of clarification first up. I mean, what was the tax panel revenue for FY25?
So FY25, it was about 3.35 crores.
Mm-hmm. 3.35 crores? Okay, understood. And in terms of, I think you mentioned something, the 6 to 7% standalone. So what was you were referring to? I mean, some outlook you shared on 6 to 7% at a standalone basis.
No, 60 to 70% growth.
So it was not in context of tax panner, but on standalone basis, you were saying something 6 to 7%. Just wanted that.
So 6 to 7% is the Propel margins. Propel margins would be about 6 to 7% range is what, you know, we are saying on a standalone basis.
Understood. Fair enough. And just so my first question is, in terms of acquisition, whatever we are targeting, are we looking at them as a margin accretive one? I mean, how should one look at?
So majority of them, I would say 95% of them would be margin accretive, but one of it could be product accretive as well.
Fair enough. That's very clear. And when we say 30 to 40% outlook in terms of growth, are we being conservative there?
Sir, you know, if we say 35 to 40 is what, you know, we have projected. Let's look at it, you know, how the year goes by and let's also see, you know, how the market shapes up. And right now, you know, this is what we have, a very clear cut, you know, a plan to achieve this. But maybe in coming quarters, we would be able to give you a better guidance.
Okay, understood. And just last thing, in terms of margins, you mentioned we are looking at 15 to 16% in next 4 years, 3 to 4 years. So per annum, I mean, 100 basis point is what we are looking at, I mean, internally in terms of improvement?
Yeah, that's a smart assessment. You know, that is what is our thought. So this current year, we are looking at 10 to 11%. Okay. And as we go on, every year we would look at improving the margin.
By 100 basis point.
Yeah, but it could be, you know, depends. Next year, I'll be able to tell you about next year is how it goes.
Fair enough. Got it. That's very helpful, sir. I think that would be it from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rohan Nagpal from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up. So these are certain amount of marks. Am I audible?
Yes, Rohan. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I was saying, if there are overriding commissions that have been booked this quarter, then the revenue that you book under Propel will be the Propel revenue from your gift card that you sold plus the overriding commission, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to understand. So that doesn't really give us a picture of what the underlying growth rate is within the Propel business, because the overriding commission is distorting that growth rate. So could you give us a sense of what the underlying growth rate is within Propel?
Excluding versus, Rohan, it is 78% on YoY quarterly basis.
Oh, okay. Understood. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Rajani from MIPL Family Office. Sorry to interrupt. You have a disturbance from your end. Could you please reconnect?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for the great results. Wanted to just have one update, that is, in the last conference call you had mentioned that you had signed a contract with one of the largest retail chains in India, which is one of the largest conglomerates. So how is that shaping up? How is that going about? And when we can see the revenues kicking in for that?
So yeah, as we explained, thank you for your question. As we explained, some of these large ones take a while to go live. And in this case, the POC was successful and we have gone live. But, you know, you would understand that scale up when you're talking of thousands and tens of thousands of branches has its own gestation period. And that's what we are seeing. Revenues have started to come through. But it would take us a little while for us to be able to really see very significant revenues. Also, please note that, you know, right now the base of revenues that we are looking at is 1,302, 1,303 crores, right? So it has to be significant with that base and that's a little while away. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devesh Kasilwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Circling back on the guidance, so you're saying that standalone guidance will be around 35% to 40%, which I'm presuming will be a conservative estimate right now. But apart from that, from the acquisitions and the acquisition that we're projecting to come forward in the next quarter, obviously that will also add to the revenue. So the overall consol guidance, can you give a number if possible?
See, if all of them come before September, then Devesh, we should be at about 80-odd% as a you know, as growth. Okay, so standalone is what we have said, 35% to 40%. Consolidated, if we get all the acquisitions which we have planned, we are able to complete, you know, before September, then we will be able to take the whole year, and it would be about roughly in the range of another 40%. It should easily add.
Okay, okay, thank you for that, sir. And one last question.
Yeah.
So normally, given a platform is a SaaS platform, so we have clients that are recurringly using our platform on a monthly basis. So is there a possibility that you could give a monthly recurring revenue number that we are at right now? Because obviously it is always going to grow going forward unless we have clients exiting. So that would be a fairer assessment of how things are shaping up on a standalone basis for the overall company.
Sure. We will look at that and come back.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, this was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Sure. So thank you all for participating in today's call. We hope we have addressed all your queries and provided valuable insights. We remain optimistic and focused on the future growth of the company, and we are excited about the opportunities ahead. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you and have a good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.